Welcome into Bleed Tech Blue Radio. This is Jonathan Ford, Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, and normal host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7 Tuesdays 6 to 7:30. Well, it's a holiday. We've just gone through a holiday. It's the holiday season. You're used to us not always being on, so it's a just get used to this. We're going to try to do more of these. These are going to be fun with Jared and I. I appreciate Jared coming in. This is Wednesday of the Marshall Conference USA Championship Week. The Bulldogs, of course, rolled all over Rice, Jared, almost a week ago. 76 points and left 7 points on the field. If you would have told me that that score would have been, 76 to 31, was that it?
Yeah, 76 to 31.
I would have called you a liar.
Yeah, 76 to 31. Really, you're up 69 to 24. Give up a garbage time touchdown in the fourth quarter with a little less than 2 minutes left. Of course, you kind of scored a garbage time touchdown too. Third string quarterback, senior Taylor Burch, gets a chance to run one in there at the end of the game to score a touchdown on senior day and give the Bulldogs the 76 points. Honestly, I'm not going to lie. I would have been a little upset had they left it at 69 points, just one short of scoring 70. But Taylor Burch took care of that.
I thought that was a really special moment to see Taylor Burch get him a touchdown and get into the end zone there on his final game as a Bulldog, especially with his career. As it started, of course, at football, went to baseball for a few years, and then finishing off his career with his fifth year this year on the Bulldog football team. But from a team perspective, I think it probably was the most complete game Louisiana Tech's played thus far. Even the special teams played decently. I mean, you take away the two missed field goals. Kyle Fisher did get benched at halftime for those missed field goals and a missed extra point. I mean, that was all in one half, correct? Or no, actually the –
Well, the extra point came later on.
On a bad snap.
Right. That would have given them their 70th point, and it was a bad snap. Really can't put that on the kicker. The two field goals, though, you're talking about the wind is at your back. You've got the distance, and you just leave it wide right on the first, which was about a 50-yarder. ESPN 97.7 tweeted that it was a 59-yarder, mistakenly put a 5 instead of a 4, and I was looking at it, and I was like, I don't think it's that far. But it turned out to be a 50-yard field goal, misses that, sails it wide right, had the leg though, had the distance, there's no doubt about it, it was definitely deep enough, like I said, wind was at his back. But yeah, the special teams from a coverage team standpoint did a good job. Carlos Henderson on the returns was apparently enough of, or Bryce thought he was enough of a threat that they started to kick it away from him. Bryce and Abraham returns the one. At first, I thought maybe he lateraled that football. Turned out that he fumbled it and then didn't fumble it.
It was a very good bounce.
Right. It turned out to be just take a great Bulldog bounce. And that's another touchdown that comes away. But regardless, really, like you mentioned, I think that's probably Tech's most complete game of the season, and it's not even close.
And one angle I want to talk about that not necessarily is – there's not a whole lot to talk about because there's a lot of speculation around it, and anybody that's been around Jared and I long enough knows we don't like to speculate. But there's rumors of some academic suspensions this coming weekend against Marshall. We don't know who it is. There's been lots of rumors out there, but until I've got it confirmed, I'm not reporting anything. And everybody who knows me knows that's the way I roll. But we won't know until Saturday when the kickoff. But watching that game, I say all that to say this: Jared Kraft got a lot of carries. Cedric Cooper got a lot of snaps as opposed to Lloyd Grogan. I'm not saying that those are two of the guys, but it was curious.
Yeah, you mentioned Jared Kraft. I thought Jared Kraft might have been the most telling because of Tevin King's absence in the offense so far this season. Not exactly tremendous in the classroom from what I hear. So certainly, obviously, all of that is speculation. Like you just said, we don't want to speculate about any of that. We won't know until Saturday. But there could be telltale signs that maybe two of the Bulldogs that you will not see might be Lloyd Grogan and Tevin King. And then also a couple of shakeups on the offensive line. Now, I didn't think that that might have been grades based. Personally, I thought that was just play on the field based. We got a caller right after the game on the First National Bank postgame call-in show that said that they wanted to know who was going to be ineligible, and I had heard all of these players were going to be ineligible, and heard all of this speculation and wanted to know if maybe there was any chance that there was some offensive linemen that weren't going to play because of the shakeup at offensive line. Now, I don't think it was had anything to do with that along that offensive line. It was just that the tackles have played pretty poorly in the past couple of weeks. And so you put in another guy. You put in Jens Danielsson.
And you also had a shakeup at right guard with the absence of Joseph Brunson with Richard Greenwalt. And you don't know if it's senior day. Rick Greenwalt's a senior.
Right.
Was that it? I mean, you really don't know. So anything is possible. But like we said, it's the most complete game from the Bulldogs playing Rice last week. And this coming weekend is one of the biggest games in Bulldog history. And I couldn't be happier for this staff and the turnaround that all of them, not all of them, but when you look at Skip Holtz and his past and Manny Diaz, you couldn't be happier for any other guys. Let's go a little bit to basketball, and then we'll go back to football, close the show with the Marshall game. Last night, the Bulldogs took on Northwestern State in Natchitoches, where the internet goes to die, ladies and gentlemen.
And so does the LTE. I had Edge service over there.
Good old 3G and Edge. It is where the internet and cellular service goes to die. Sorry, Bulldog fans in Natchitoches, but that is not a pleasant place if you're looking to get on the interwebs. But the Bulldogs, I thought, played pretty well. That is not an easy place to go in and play. As strange as the configuration is of that building, I would imagine there's almost no depth perception on that one end where there's two more courts on one end of the building, so you don't have a wall to get your judgment of where how far you are from the goal. I can't imagine shooting in that building. But the Bulldogs were victorious 99-88 in a game that Speedy Smith really didn't play a lot because he had some cheap fouls. But it was the Alex Hamilton show. 30 points.
Yeah, you mentioned Speedy Smith. Also, Eric McCree only played 19 minutes, had a couple of quick turnovers and a couple of quick fouls. McCree certainly didn't look great. So you lose basically two starters for much of the game because Speedy didn't get a whole lot of playing time. But guys like Xavier Stapleton came in and stepped up. Kedar Davis came in and stepped up. Surprisingly enough, I didn't see Merrill Holden.
That was surprising. But I was told, and I wasn't there Friday night because I was seeing my in-laws in Washington, D.C., but Janiah White didn't play Friday night. He played last night. So Coach White is still trying to figure out his rotation, and he's getting closer. And you mentioned Xavier Stapleton. I mean, 13 minutes for a true freshman, 4 of 7 from the field, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 block, and 9 points.
Right.
He certainly can fill up a stat sheet.
The only thing that I would take away from Xavier Stapleton is, once again, in just 13 minutes, he had a couple of fouls. Xavier Stapleton tends, regardless, if he's been in the game 6 minutes or 13 minutes, he's going to get 2 fouls. And you'd certainly like to see
him. He's a more athletic, skinnier, different position Chris Anderson.
Yeah, exactly. He plays so much more aggressively than his size would seemingly indicate that he would do. And Kedar Davis had a great game.
But you know, you talk about on the flip side, Kedar Davis plays so under control all the time, and that's evident of the high level of basketball he's played the last 2 years at the junior college, Indian Lakes, is that Indian River, Indian something community college that he played in. Were number one in most of the year last season and didn't win the national championship. But that's the reason he transferred from Pensacola up there, was to win a national championship, as Jared drops his phone on the wood floor and it makes a loud racket. So sorry about that. It even showing up on the computer, it was so loud. I think he's been a pleasant surprise for me. Jacoby Boykins, I thought, played well yesterday, and he has really proven to be Louisiana Tech's best three-point shooter. And while I'm on a three-point shooting, how good are those guards at Northwestern State?
Oh, The three-point shooting for Northwestern State at some points was almost unbelievable. Even though they ended up only shooting, they only made nine. It ended up being like a 9 of 22 or 9 of 23, something like that. I think they only made one more than the Bulldogs took.
But they were – every one of them they made was contested. You had people all right over them.
That was what I was trying to get to, was that those shots were contested shots. There was a hand in their face. There was a defender right there. And they would just drill them. And Jalen West, left-handed point guard for Northwestern State, very good. Zeke Terry and Woodley, really good.
Say that three times fast.
Well, he goes by Zeke, but
Zeke – from Pelican High School.
Right. Zeke Woodley was very good, and crazy how athletic his build is. I mean, super athletic guy. And then, of course, Frazier, who's a senior now, number 40 playing down low. Not necessarily a very tall guy, but played bigger than he was, very and thick.
Him getting in foul trouble was big for the Bulldogs, I thought.
Right, no, there's no doubt about it. Speaking of foul trouble, those had to have been Southland Conference refs last night. They were some of the worst referees.
Well, I tried to tweet early, and I think the tweet might have gone out 30 minutes after I tried to send it because of,
right,
like we talked about.
The service.
That the chubby one sure did want to make you know that his whistle worked.
Oh, well, not only that, but every call he made, he would go out to half court to do it so that everybody's eyes were on him. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
He was a showboater, and I don't like those kind of officials, but I don't like many kinds of officials. We all know that at this point. Let's move on to Louisiana Tech at Marshall, Conference USA championship game. Jared, I'm just going to say this. I don't like this matchup.
For
Tech.
Okay.
Raining basically all day Friday. Going to be a wet field. It's going to rain till about 3 o'clock. Not a whole lot of rain on Saturday, but it's going to be sloppy conditions. I'm pretty sure it's a natural surface. It's not turf. I could be mistaken, but if it's a natural surface, it's going to be nasty. But I don't feel good. I mean, you got the speculation, and that's – and that's playing a part of it. I mean, I'm not going to lie that it's not. But even though I've got a bad feeling, and if Tech does go out there and lose like I think they do, it's not the end of the world. This season was never expected to be like this. So getting to the bowl game, which I think is going to be Heart of Dallas, personally, is there's a whole lot can be said about that after last season.
Oh, no question. And you mentioned the Heart of Dallas Bowl. The winner of Conference USA gets to choose which bowl game they go to. I think regardless of whether or not Louisiana Tech wins or loses, they're going to pick the Heart of Dallas Bowl if they win, and they're going to go to the Heart of Dallas Bowl if they lose. It only makes sense for Louisiana Tech to get into that DFW Metroplex where they're recruiting, where they have so many alumni, and – play in that bowl game.
And on to the point, your point about the winner gets to choose, it doesn't make any sense for Marshall to play in Dallas-Fort Worth. They recruit Florida heavily. There's a Florida Bowl and a Boca Raton Bowl. I think that's the bowl they choose. Now, they could surprise me and choose the Heart of Dallas Bowl. If I were a betting man right now, I think Middle Tennessee ends up in the Bahamas. I think New Mexico, UTEP ends up in New Mexico, Rice ends up in Hawaii, Tech ends up at Heart of Dallas, and then Marshall at Boca Raton, and the poor guys at UAB. We can't finish this without talking about UAB. We'll close the show with the travesty that has happened in Birmingham this week. But do you think that the conference will leave UAB out in the cold?
You mean not invite them to a bowl game? Boy. I mean,
will they find a way to get them in a bowl?
I think they have to try to find a way to get them into a bowl game.
Do you think they would? I think that both UAB and Western Kentucky are both 6-6. You're not guaranteed a bowl at 6-6 in Conference USA. I have to think they'd rather get UAB in
than first year Western Kentucky. No, I agree. And especially with everything that's happened this week, of course, had the football program at UAB not been closed down this week, then certainly I think that Western Kentucky would be the better fit just because of the offensive performance they could put on national TV in a bowl game against a quality opponent. But with everything that happened with UAB this week, I mean, you have to think that Britton Banowski and those guys are going to do whatever they can to try to get
– for the kids, and it's not even about the university. Right, because Britton Banowski's come out and said that he is disappointed in the decision and doesn't support it. Moving a little bit more on to the X's and O's of Marshall, offensively, I think Tech's going to be able to slow them from Tech's defense. I don't see this being a high-scoring game. It very well could be, but I don't see it being one. Number six, the receiver for Marshall, I think he's questionable this week. The running back's probably questionable with a shoulder injury, and he's an absolute monster at 6'1", 250. If he doesn't play at all, Tech's chances improve greatly because that's what they do well is run the ball, even though Rakeem Cato is the best quarterback in the conference. Tech's going to have to run the ball well in order to win.
Yeah, especially if the conditions are going to be as bad as you say. You'd think that Louisiana Tech would have to have a pretty steady dose of Kenneth Dixon in that running game. And Marshall proved last week that they're not particularly good at stopping the run. They gave up, 237 yards to Leon Allen from Western Kentucky. Allen had a couple of big runs against Louisiana Tech, but for the most part, he was held in check. And Allen was having Kenneth Dixon tight numbers most of the season until he played Tech. And he had a big game against Marshall. Marshall's defensive line is not great.
And just, it is an artificial surface. That's going to help, but the ball's still going to be slippery. Continue.
Well, glad we cleared that up. That Marshall defensive line is not great. I don't think that Marshall's secondary is great either. But look, this Marshall team is a team that, it went undefeated almost all the way through the season. I mean, you slip up at the last game of the season and lose one to Western Kentucky in overtime, 67-66. You put up 66 points. It was not as though your offense can't score. But this Marshall defense has not
– They haven't wowed.
They haven't wowed anyone. We continue to hear that Marshall has the best offense in the conference and the best defense in the conference. All season long, they were talking about how Marshall had the best passing defense in the conference. They had the best rushing defense in the conference. They had the best total defense in the conference. Well, as the season has progressed, you've started to see Marshall slip a little, and they haven't played anyone. This Marshall team is not a team that's been tested really by anyone. And the first really good offense that Marshall played, and I'll have their schedule in front of me in a moment, but the very first real good offense that Marshall has played is Western Kentucky, and the defense gives up 67 points to them. So with that being said, I certainly think that Louisiana Tech's offense has a chance to put up points against that defense.
I worry about protecting Cody Sokol if they can't run the ball. If Tech is one-dimensional, we've seen what that does, and it's not pretty. So they have to be able to run the ball successfully in order to be successful offensively. And I think that's where it begins and ends offensively for Louisiana Tech. Defensively, I think Tech will be okay. If they can play as well as they did against Auburn, they can play well against pretty much anybody. So that's good. And the offense has come around so much in recent weeks. I mean, anything's possible. But I like I said, I don't feel great. I'll go ahead and open it up with the predictions. It's a two touchdown line.
It's 12. It's 12 right now.
I mean, I could see this being a 42-24 game. I really could. That's pretty close to what Vegas is predicting. I could see 42-30. That kind of a line, which is right on par with what Vegas has predicted. Even our friends at MasseyRatings.com, I wish those guys would pay us a little something for all the plugs we give them. They don't have Tech as a highly high chance of a high probability of beating the Thundering Herd. So it'll be interesting for sure to see what happens Saturday. What's your prediction, Jared?
Well, honestly, I think
Are you polar opposite of me?
I honestly think that Louisiana Tech has a chance to win this football game, and I really think that they can very well go up there and do just that. This Marshall offense, I guess, probably – I mean, excuse me, Marshall defense, the best offense they've faced is Western Kentucky. Maybe you've got maybe you include Ohio in that or Akron in that. I'm not really sure.
I don't know my MAC football.
Exactly. It's tough to say. That being said, I think Louisiana Tech wins this football game.
What score?
I think they're going to win it. I think they're going to put up 35. I think that defense is going to be able to hold Cato and that Marshall offense. Sans, starting running back, the converted linebacker, to 21 points. I think it's going to be 35-21. I think Louisiana Tech.
I certainly hope so.
I think they win and they cover, and I'll take the under on the 68.5.
Moving to Birmingham, of course, UAB, Alabama Board of Trustees, the UAB president says that the Board of Trustees had nothing to do with this. If you believe that, I've got some oceanfront property in Antarctica I'd like to sell you that is very hot in a July.
It's absolutely ridiculous to think that this University of Alabama system is to blame. The Board of Trustees is to blame. They look at UAB, the fans that UAB has, they look at the money that may go to that UAB program, and they say, all right, we can give this to Alabama. Let's just do that. And that's ultimately what this decision came down to.
And I do understand it. Unfortunately, I do understand it. I see the big picture. I don't like how it was handled. I don't think the team gets bowl eligible last Saturday, and on Tuesday.
Tuesday, announced that it's closed.
You announced you're closing the end of the football at UAB, and you're not playing football even next season. I think it's crappy business for the teams you've got scheduled next year. They've already collected their paycheck of $900,000 from the University of Tennessee for next season that they're supposed to play in Nashville. So what do you? It's time to go get the checkbook out and write University of Tennessee another $900,000 check and give them their money back. It's ludicrous.
Well, you think that UAB program was really it was turning around. Bill Clark has done a great job at his first and apparently only season with the program. They hadn't been bowl eligible in 10 years. This is the first year in 10 seasons that they've been bowl eligible. And not only that, regardless of what the stadium looks like as far as fans in the seats, they hold 70,000. So obviously it's going to look empty anyway. Now I know that.
And it's in worse shape than the Independence Stadium, and that takes some work.
they very well may be lying about those numbers when it comes to the attendance, because there's no way there was 20,000 people there for the Louisiana Tech game. But they're still selling tickets, and the program is still on the upswing. I mean, certainly on the upswing. And if Bill Clark stays one more year or two more years, you're talking about a program that could vary.
It's contending for a Conference USA championship for sure.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, because Marshall will be down after this year, then who else is in the East? The East is really, I would say,
it's ripe
the East
for the
is
taking.
Absolutely, it's ready to be taken by whoever will rise up to
Western
the occasion.
Western Kentucky loses a quarterback. I think probably Middle Tennessee wins it next year.
Yeah, but you can't tell me that if UAB doesn't stay around one more season with Bill Clark, with another year of Jordan Howard, another year of that junior quarterback that they've got,
Clements.
There's no way that program is not competing, at least for the East Division title next year, and definitely the year after that.
I don't disagree with you, and I it's bad at how they handled it, but like I said, I understand it. Ultimately, the only way you save money in Division I athletics is to cut football. You can't save money any other way. It's you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. That's all you're doing if you're trying to cut money without cutting football. So ultimately, I understand. I think they probably should have played out all their remaining scheduled games.
I mean, they had only scheduled
through 2016.
Yeah, they had scheduled through 2016. So you've got two seasons.
But I think the problem would have been is Bill Clark would have found him another job, and then who's willing to come coach? You can't find a coach at that point. So that's probably ultimately why they decided to handle it the way they did, because if you come out and say, we're done after 2015, why in the world would Bill Clark stick around for 2015.
Yeah, especially because this was his only year. Now, had he been recruiting and had a couple of, had some kids that he wanted to stay and go ahead and finish it out with and then move on somewhere else, because Bill Clark's not going to have a problem finding another job.
No.
Had he been there for a couple of years, I think he probably would have stayed with this program and finished it out just for the sake of his kids, just for the sake of his players. It's still really disappointing the way that these kids go out now. I don't know if anyone's had a chance to watch any of the videos from inside the locker room when they made the announcement, but it was really saddening.
It's telling.
It was really saddening. Just unbelievable the way the players reacted. I mean, your heart goes out to them. It really does, because it's unfortunate for them. The good news, though, is that it appears as though the NCAA is going to allow those players who are at UAB now to transfer out without having to sit out a season and be ineligible wherever they go. They'll be able to play immediately wherever they may land.
Your man crush is going to land on his feet without any problems, and I think he lands high profile somewhere.
I agree. I think Jordan Howard will play. He will be competing in a Power 5 conference next season. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And to say that, this is a kid who really his only offer was UAB. So he's done tremendous things in the two seasons that he's been there. He's played really well. And I think this is actually going to turn out to be positive
for
him. Yeah, no doubt about it.
For Jared King, I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. This has been a special podcast edition of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Stay tuned to BleedTechBlue.com, where we will bring you everything Louisiana Tech in the Marshall Conference USA Championship game. And as the story breaks with the ineligible players academically, and we'll have that. Also, as soon as the bowl thing is announced, we'll have it right there for you. For Jared King, I am Jay Ford. We'll see you next time.